Today we're beginning our series from the book of Job, Faith in a World of Suffering. In some respects it may not be an easy series, especially for those who are in the midst of suffering or who have suffered. And as we go through this series, I want us to reflect on the words of Jesus that we read at the opening of our service. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And I really draw your attention to this last part of the verse. My Father will love them, we will come to them, make our home with them. And just see how wonderful these words are. Love them, come to them, make our home with them. This is the promise of Jesus, who is faithful and true. Job could not know this. It's not reflected in the writings of Job, but we as Christians know this. So we want to say this at the outset when we begin to think about Job and the things that will unfold for us there. This is a promise from Jesus wrapped in love, our love for Jesus, our Heavenly Father's love for us, and the promise that God will love us, love you, both Jesus and our Heavenly Father will come and make their home in us by the Holy Spirit. This is a promise that is true for us. And I mention this because I want you to know whether you have suffered in the past and still carry some sensitive wounds from that suffering, whether you're suffering at the moment and going through a difficult time, or perhaps, like many people, just a lot of the time, you're puzzled by this. And you may look at the things in our world with COVID and think, what on earth is going on? Where's God in all of these things? And so I want you to know this and to carry this with you through all the series. The God of all comfort is with you. He is a friend who is closer than a brother. He will love you more than you can ever know. He has promised never to leave you or forsake you. And because we know this, as we have, so many of us have experienced suffering in some form, suffering can cloud our vision of God. Suffering can come between us and God. And sometimes, because of that, we ask the wrong questions. Or sometimes we jump to or slump to the wrong conclusions. Suffering raises questions about God's love for us, and these questions, the suffering itself, has the possibility of undermining our faith. It can continue to trouble us with painful wounds that cut deep into our hearts, so that's all we can cope with at that moment. It can fill our eyes with tears. It can rack our bodies with sobs. It can leave us feeling alone and unloved. And while this is hard, so very, very hard, as we wrestle with this, sometimes we just, in suffering, feel so exposed, so totally undone, so totally powerless. While we're in that situation, we need to remember the promise of Jesus remains true, and God is with us. And so many of us find, in the midst of suffering, there is this sort of thin, almost feeling flimsy, fragile cord, thread of God's love that we take hold of. And it might seem as if it is so thin it could break at any moment, but actually it has a strength we find that cannot be broken. And holding on to that, we can find our way through. And we can emerge from our troubling times knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I just know, as so many of us know, suffering is real. And so I'm not dealing with that in any sort of light way. And my intention in this studies is not to open old wounds or to hurt you. But I hope that through this we will find something of God's presence that will help us all. As we begin this, we must take note that Job is a part of wisdom literature. And when we come to reading, we must know what sort of genre these words are, what type of book we're reading. So if you had a newspaper and you opened it up, of course you go to a newspaper to find the news, and you open it up and you read in the newspaper a description of a house that is a handyman's dream, then you know you're not reading the news, you're reading an advert. And what someone might describe as a handyman's dream might for many people be a nightmare of repairs that are needed in a house. And so you need to know the type of writing it is. And in a sense, often when we're reading a newspaper, because we're used to this, we can switch from one type of understanding. This is news. This is happening internationally. I can take this as fact. This is happening. And another part of the newspaper you read, that's not fact at all. So we know how to do that automatically, but sometimes when we come to the Bible, we don't necessarily do that. And Job is not among the history writings. Job is alongside is a wisdom book alongside the Psalms, the Proverbs, the Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. That's the type of book it is. It contains poetry like that of the Psalms, pithy sayings like those of the Proverbs, and a search for meaning that's just like the writer of Ecclesiastes, who tries to find a way through this. And while I'm confident that Job was a historic person, not a fictional character, that he suffered deeply, this book isn't trying to give us a history lesson. As the video we looked at noted, there are no clear historical settings. It seems the author doesn't want us to be distracted by historical questions, but to focus on the story of Job and the questions raised by his suffering. In some ways, Job is everyone. Job could be translated to this period of history or that period of history. The thing that we're looking at here is how he wrestles with the suffering that's so common to humanity. And this is one of the oldest books in the Bible, not surprising, because it deals with one of the oldest questions known to humanity, the question of suffering, the question of evil that is around us. And so scholars place this story around the time of Abraham, or even well before Abraham. Deals with these common questions of suffering. And so it shouldn't surprise us that even in other ancient writings, there are stories a bit like Job, where the gods inflict some suffering on a human. But the other stories are not as theologically deep or sophisticated as is the story of Job. The dialogue in this unique book is carefully crafted between Job and his friends to enable us to have this deep dive into the questions and the issues that are in the book. They are wrestling with this question of suffering, probing what it means that there is evil in the world, and wondering, what is God's part in this? Many of the arguments are based around what scholars refer to as the retribution principle, which basically means if you sin, you suffer. If you do good, you will be blessed. Now, we know there is an element of truth in this, but it's not a universal truth that applies to every situation. Certainly not in the situation of Job, who we're told is righteous and godly, a virtuous man. But his friends come with this idea, with misconceptions about suffering, and it's clear to them, from their perspective, Job must have done something really bad to deserve this punishment. Sometimes when we're in the midst of suffering, that's how we think. We have a similar way of thinking about these things. And so the friends come and they're saying, Job, you must have done something really, really wrong to be suffering so really, really badly. But Job is just as adamant. I haven't done anything to deserve this. In my walk with God, I've tried to be faithful and true. I don't deserve this punishment. And this raises all sorts of questions. One of the difficulties with this book is that there are questions that remain unanswered. It would be really helpful if we could turn somewhere in the book of Job, at least to one verse, if not two or three verses, and they explain to us why people suffer. And then we would have an answer. And we might not be happy with the answer, but at least we would have something to be able to think about. But you can look all through that book, you're never going to find it. Indeed, Job never becomes aware of the reason for his suffering. And this book makes us face up to the fact that there are some mysteries, as much as we would love to have the answer to them, some mysteries that are going to remain as mysteries. And this is really frustrating. I don't know about you, but I find this really, really frustrating. And part of me, and perhaps some of you ask, well, John, why are we going to bother to look at the book of Job if it's not going to give us these answers? You know, we might as well go and look at something else. But there is much to be found here. One of the great chapters in the book is chapter 28, which Job begins this seeking after wisdom. And he says, you know, people can find gold and silver. They can start to dig holes into the ground. They can dangle them. They can sway down to the depths of the earth. But where is wisdom found? We can find all sorts of jewels, we can find gold, we can go to the source of the rivers, we can find all these precious things, but where is wisdom to be found? Where is understanding? Where does it dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. And so he's saying you can't look for it in a mine. Even the birds that can fly really high and get a big overview of everything, they can't find it. And so he states, God understands the way to it. He alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under heaven. So wisdom, if it is to be found, is to be found with God. And at the end of this book, as God is speaking, we find the statement, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Now remember, this is a wisdom book. And that's what this book is about. It's about wisdom. It's about finding wisdom. The suffering is the presenting issue. But the book moves not to knowledge to give us the reason for the suffering, but towards wisdom to help us cope as we go through suffering. Unsure of the reason for his suffering, having heard the accusations of his friends, Job begins to understand what I really need is wisdom. That's what I need in this situation. Wisdom was valued in the ancient world. Today, we seem to be on a quest for knowledge. But where do we find wisdom being promoted? In the past year with COVID, and I should say towards the end of last year with COVID, this is when God put it on my heart to try and look at Job. And to begin to think about some of these things with so much suffering that's happening in our world. So with COVID, we have been able to find so much information about the disease, and scientists have been able to sort of isolate it and look at it under microscopes and test it and do all sorts of things. But even though they've been able to do that and been able to go to the governments of the world with a whole lot of data about the disease and how it spreads, knowledge is one thing, but wisdom, what to do with that knowledge, is another thing. And some governments have not been very wise in the way that they have approached this. Well, what difference does this make to us? I'm sure at some point in your life you have suffered, perhaps the loss of a loved one, perhaps a serious illness, maybe the recent issues and worries regarding COVID-19. All of this just helps us to be aware Job really is relevant to us all. God inspired this book to help us. It's written for our benefit. not so much that we have the knowledge of why we suffer at a particular time, but that we might gain wisdom. Thankfully, we don't all suffer to the extent of Job, but we do all suffer. And at one level, at least in this book, God is telling us we're not alone. God is here with us. Job didn't know until God broke the silence that God was there. He was questioning God, "Where are you in all this?" We can know that God is there because we have so much more of the scriptures. And whatever suffering we face, and I do not say this lightly, even if God seems silent, God is there. Even if the cord of his love seems as thin as a thread or hard to find, God is there with you and can make a great difference to us. You are not alone. God is with you. God is with us. And so I invite you to join us on this journey as we start to look into the book of Job. In the bulletin, I've given several links, including the one we've just seen, the video, the overview of Job. And you might find it helpful to look at that or to read through some of the chapters in Job and get an understanding of it. As you do so, just a little alert. Remember, at the end of the book, God says, Job's friends were wrong. So when you're reading the bits that Job's friends say, don't take it that everything that they say is right. There'll be elements of truth in what they're saying, but God said in the end, their approach to this, what they were saying, was wrong. So just take a little bit of care as you look into that. And I hope that as we do pursue this, it will help us to develop wisdom and strengthen a relationship with God who holds us in his care. Amen.